Today, I believe once and for all, we are going to deal with a filthy, lying, controlling spirit that is in operation in some of our lives and in the Church of Jesus Christ. And that is the spirit of fear. Amen? Have you ever been fearful in your life? Are you going through a season at the moment where you're fearful and you're wondering what the next day, week, or month even looks like? I want to tell you today, the enemy is under your feet. He has been defeated, destroyed, and driven out of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear has no place in your life. And I'm convinced in my spirit that people will be delivered. People will be set free. Maybe you're here and it's fear of your future. Fear of your finances, your family, man, consuming every part of your life. There's seemingly not a part of our lives that this filthy, evil spirit has not invaded and infected. But no more. Amen? No more of God's people being taunted and tormented by something that did not come from God. Perfect love casts out all fear. It's not just a soundbite. That's God's heart. And God's nature, God's character, and God's desire for your life. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. Our job and our role is to enforce that victory. And so part of it is our responsibility. And so today, I believe we have an opportunity to serve the eviction notice on fear in our lives. Why? It has no place, it has no position, it has no power, and no potential. In the natural, when you serve an eviction notice, it is because something or someone is in a place that it should not be. It's illegitimate, it's illegal, and therefore you have to enforce the law. And much like you have to enforce the law in the natural to remove something or someone from your life that is not meant to be there, we must exercise the power of God's word, the power of the Holy Spirit to remove every legitimate and illegal spirit and force in operation in our lives. And today, the focus is fear. Your past does not need to hold your future hostage. And we are going to turn to God's word this morning, and we are going to feed ourselves on the word of God and explore and examine one of the miracles of Jesus that we find in the Synoptic Gospels. So that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark 4, and it's verses 35 to 41. Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. I have the NIV translation in front of me. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." May God be blessed by the reading of his word this morning in Jesus' name. So the background, the context, if you like, is that Jesus was preaching from a boat and essentially using this boat as his personal pulpit to the crowd that he was speaking to. It gets dark. He decides now is the time to cross over to the other side. And I want to suggest to you this afternoon that every single moment that you are in fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ, you will have an open invitation to cross over to the other side. Amen. There will always be storms in your life if you're walking with Jesus, because Jesus had storms following him every single way, every single place that he went. Jesus is forever crossing over to the other side. If we think about the social and the spiritual boundaries that he crossed, he broke Sabbath laws. He ate with sinners. He overturned tables in the temple treasury. And he dealt with demon-possessed people. He broke every spiritual and social law and principle that it was applicable at that time. In the Old Testament, the sea was a symbol of chaos. It was the abode, it was the residence, if you like, of everything that was evil. Only God was able to bring peace to the stormy sea. And so the calming of the storm is more than just a miracle that happened long ago. It symbolizes the power of Jesus Christ. It tells us and reminds us that God was in Christ, Jesus in his speech and conduct, reminiscent of the Creator, awakens and rebukes the sea just as often as he had rebuked the demons. What is evidently clear is that the storm and the wind was immense in power and potency. And that gives us an indication about the enormity of the issue that was in front of the disciples in that time. The boats in that time when Jesus would take them fishing, they would have been well built, they would have been well constructed. One side of the boat would have been lower built than the other so that when they went fishing, the nets could catch, or bring in rather, all the fish that they had caught. So this afternoon, in your own life, my first question to you is, what is the worst storm that you have ever been in? Take a moment to think about that. Perhaps it's a season or a circumstance that you're currently navigating. But as we take a look at how the disciples responded, bearing in mind most of them were very, very experienced fishermen, they knew the waters well. Despite their wealth of knowledge, despite all that they knew, their response was to cry out to Jesus. And I want to encourage you, no matter how much intellect, no matter how much wisdom, no matter how many degrees, no matter how much experience you have in your walk with Christ, the answer is always call out to Jesus. He is not just an answer, he is the answer for every problem in your life. They acknowledge him as their teacher, but their comment is almost accusatory. Now, I think there is so much detail, so much depth in Scripture. The word here is very clear, that the disciples. I would like to think that they probably drew straws and decided which one of them was going to wake Jesus up, but they almost certainly all agreed that this is what we need to do. We need to wake Jesus up. It's critical. They also do not ask him to calm the storm and the sea. That's very significant. In our reading of Scripture, it's important to read what is actually there, not our interpretation of what we think is there. Amen. They never ask Jesus, would you mind stepping into this situation? They say, don't you care that we are about to drown? Is that not our response sometimes? It's quite accusatory, quite critical. We're appraising and assessing Jesus and his ability and his capacity and his willingness to step into our own situations. Maybe we've got into the boat with Jesus with all the honorable intentions in the world, waiting to cross over to the other side, and then a storm comes. And then we're like, not quite sure about this. Let me have another think about whether or not I want to walk with Jesus. Do you ever get a phone call in the middle of the night that somebody's been lost? Somebody's been in a car accident? Have you had a health report recently from the doctor that is not a good diagnosis? I want to tell you right now, whose report do you believe? You believe the report of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the doctor. Do you worry, parents, about your children, the world that they're growing up in? Will they really stand for Jesus, or will they compromise? What is eating away at you? What is causing you to be fearful this morning? We question Jesus, don't we? We ask that question, why? Or maybe, why me? Like somehow we're exempt from going through trials and troubles and challenges. And I want to tell you, the closer you get to Jesus, you're going to go through the very things that Jesus went through. We know the song well. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Careful, take a look in the Scriptures and see what happened to the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of our lives. Maybe you're thinking about your own situation this afternoon and thinking, oof, I'm swamped. I'm overwhelmed by fear. God is asleep in my situation. Can I remind you, the Word of God declares that they were nearly swamped, They were not swamped. God has the final say in your life. And just like the disciples, God woke up, Jesus woke up, and he delivered them. He will deliver you from your promise when you least expect it in the final hour. In the fullness of time, God makes all things beautiful. But our Christian walk, we often go straight to the worst possible outcome. Do you not care that we are about to drown? And I, with my theological brain on, I can't work out when they're using the word we, do they mean the disciples or are they including Jesus in this? I still haven't got an answer to that. I anticipate it's the former, not the latter. But we question God. But Jesus turns up right on time. Did the disciples want Jesus simply to calm the storm, or were they cautioning him to take cover? I did a little bit of research. I'm not the most knowledgeable when it comes to boats and ships. I live in London. But a stern is at the back, and it's exposed to the elements. And I wondered in my own mind, maybe you have been here. Have you thought in your life, God is asleep in my situation? Anyone witness in the house of the Lord, or is it just me this morning? And we think, where is God? What is going on? They recognize that he was the best person to reach out to. But their question already presupposed that God was uninterested in their plight. God was negligent in his apparent care and shepherding for them. And so I want you to picture the scene. A boat overcome, overwhelmed with crashing waves, wind. It's unsettling, it's uncertain. You feel like you're perishing. You're overwhelmed in every situation. And the man who is meant to be dealing with the problem is asleep on a cushion. I would be really annoyed. I'm speaking on behalf of you. I'm sure you would be too. Now, for those of us that like our sleep, the answer is not to sleep your way to breakthrough. I heard that amen up there. But there is precedence in Scripture. Psalm 3, verses 5 and 6, David on the run from Absalom, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. The answer is not to nap your way to your breakthrough, amen. The answer is to call on the name of Jesus. But these disciples who had already witnessed Jesus perform miracle after miracle seemed absolutely shocked that he was able to calm the storm and silence the sea. Why are the disciples still terrified after the storm? He's eliminated the danger to their lives, but yet they were still afraid. Let's be clear again. Notice what Jesus doesn't ask. He does not say, why were you afraid? He says, why are you so afraid? It's present tense. And I want to suggest to you this afternoon that they were in fearful awe of the one true and living God, our King and Savior, Jesus Christ, had the power, had the authority, and had the capacity to deal with their situation immediately. And I believe for some of us in here, the fear that you've been carrying in your lives, Jesus is going to deal with it immediately in the name of Jesus Christ. The moment, the reality is that they were facing a life-threatening storm, but that was nothing. That paled into insignificance when they framed that against the one who could control that storm. They thought they knew Jesus, but after that demonstration of power, they had to ask themselves, did they? Why did the disciples ask each other, who is this? The question seems stupid, silly, unnecessary. Because they knew who he was, but they had never seen him perform a miracle like that before. Their minds had been blown. And I want you to recall and remember in your own life a moment where you cried out to God and God stepped in and dealt with your situation and your mind was blown, not just at the enormity of what can do, but the immediacy of God redeeming or retrieving a situation and leading you to breakthrough and victory in Jesus Christ. If he has done it before, he can do it again. Our God is perfect in all of his ways. Let's read verse 40 again. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Those are hard words to hear and read. And I'm sure at different points in our own walk with Jesus, maybe we've been there too. They would apply to us. Why is Jesus so hard on them? He rebukes them instead of comforting them. You could argue he's calling them cowards. Do you still have no faith? He's possibly exasperated, borderline annoyed at their apparent lack of faith, in spite of the overwhelming evidence that they have personally witnessed in their walk and journey with Jesus Christ. He had already demonstrated his power. He had already repeated miracle after miracle. He had worked in and through each and every one of their lives. And I'm here to tell you today that our God is eternal. Every problem in your life is temporary. Put it in the proper perspective. Put it through the lens of Jesus Christ. Stand on his word. His promises are yes and amen to all those in Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That is our truth. That is our reality. But I recognize in a room this big, there will be challenges. There will be things that people are fearful of. There will be people that people here are fearful of. But I want to tell you, don't give up on God. He has not given up on you. Do not appraise or assess God. He is perfect in all of his ways. Regardless of what you may think or feel right now, he has never let you down. But maybe you're a little bit like the psalmist in Psalm 77, verses 7 and 9. Maybe you've uttered words or questions akin to this. Will the Lord reject me forever? Will he never show his favor towards me again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Have his promises failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful to me? In his anger, has God withheld his compassion to me? But then the psalmist gets revelation. He gets a reminder. He starts to recall and retrieve all the things that God has done in his life. And just two verses later, the psalmist declares, "I will remember the deeds of my Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles from long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." The psalmist has reminded himself, in spite of his plight and problem in that moment, that God has been faithful. He has seen the goodness of God in his life from long ago. You need to do the same this morning. Otherwise, our faith can erode. We find ourselves questioning God, appraising and assessing God, if he really does care for us. Do you often wonder that you feel that Jesus is asleep at the wheel of our lives when we're going through trials, we're hitting the rocks, when the waves are overcoming us? Did Jesus intentionally decide to enter this storm to test the faith of his disciples? I want to suggest to you the answer to that question is yes. And so if you're going through a trial today, dignify the trial. Trust in his unfailing love. His mercy's in you every morning. Great is the Lord's faithfulness. Because it was Jesus that suggested the trip himself. It was Jesus that was asleep. Only Jesus. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. Why? Because the truth is that Jesus knows that the reality is these disciples still don't understand his capacity and his ability. This is no ordinary man having a nap at the end of a boat. This is Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the second person of the Trinity, the Word of God through all things are made with him. Nothing was made with him. John 1, verse 3. We must learn to rest in total faith in the storms of our lives, just like Jesus. Our lives can never fail if we have Jesus in our boat. Amen? Psalm 73, 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The worship team were just leading us in the song Firm Foundation by Maverick City. It's probably our anthem song here at the church. That I put my faith in Jesus because he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail me now? He won't, he won't, he won't. If these disciples had faith, would they have woken Jesus? No. That's a little harsh, but it is accurate. Because they would have trusted his very presence alone would have been sufficient to keep them safe. And I want to tell you, he is with you in every moment, in every season, in every circumstance. He is perfect in all of his ways. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. And he is with you right now in every trial, in every challenge. And you need not fear because he is with you. The miracle is not just about Jesus having authority over nature. It is about Jesus having authority over the chaos that threatens to disrupt our hearts and lives. Jesus doesn't just rescue them from the storms of life. He rescues them from their fear and the disorder that threatens to overcome their heart and soul. This is the God who set up the foundations of the earth, who created the limits for the sea, the God who flung stars into space. The battle in the sea is nothing more than a precursor for what Jesus accomplished at Calvary for you and for me. Question. What areas of your life are you tempted to walk in fear rather than faith? Remember, his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding is your portion and will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But if you do not have peace with God, you can never experience the peace of God. So embrace that promise this morning. Recognize that he is in full control of your life. He is in charge of every possible aspect and area of your life. Even when you don't see him at work, he is at work. Waymaker by Sinach, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. And if God brought you in it, he will bring you through it in the name of Jesus Christ. He never sees the righteous forsaken. In the name of Jesus Christ. But the answer is we must rest. Our rest of faith in Jesus. And the antidote to fear is faith. Fear and faith both possess similar attributes, qualities. They both believe in something about to happen in my life, something that's going to personally affect me. But I want to tell you they come from two very, very different sources. Fear is a filthy, lying spirit of the enemy that has no place and no authority in your life, and it's largely orientated around circumstances around you. But your faith is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in the one true and living God. In him and him alone, I have my faith. The word of God declares without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God is impressed by your faith. Don't relinquish it at the moment you have a trial in your life. Faith is trusting God to make a way where there seems to be no way. And the key to overcoming fear is twofold. To declare and decree the word of God over your life and to worship God in spirit and in truth in the good times and the bad times. It is so easy for us in our Christian walk when things are going well, hands up, hearts open, give God worship. What about when you just lost your job? Your marriage is breaking down. Your kids are errant. The challenges of life are right at your front doorstep. It's a lot harder then, but that's sacrificial worship. That's worship that pleases the Father's heart. That's worship that seeps into your heart and soul and stirs you up to love and good works. And then you recalibrate your heart and mind and you stand on the word of God. You stand on the promises of God. You get up and you go again in the name of Jesus Christ. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. There will be wind and there will be waves in your walk and journey with Jesus. It's called life. But with Jesus, you have the victory. After all, God was with Christ. The Spirit of God comes and dwells in us. There are storms guaranteed to come into your life when you walk with Jesus. And yet, in this terrifying presence and power, there is salvation. There is breakthrough, there is healing, there is victory, there is joy, there is comfort, there is strength, there is all that God has for us. If you allow fear to rule and reign in your life, I guarantee you it will erode every spirit of peace and joy in your life. You will not fulfill your high calling in Christ if fear rules and reigns. James 1, verses 2 and 4 declares, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face many trials of many kinds, because you know that your testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be complete, not lacking anything." If you find yourself navigating hardship, you find fear is at the epicenter of your life, and you find challenges overwhelming you, it is not because God doesn't care about your life. God is wanting to mature you, causing you to deepen your dependency and your trust in Him. Will you commit to the journey today? That's the tough question. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Nor be dismayed, for I am your God. Surely I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You receive that promise simply by believing. God has not given up on you, so don't give up on Him. Keep on keeping on. Your time of refreshing is coming. Can I get an amen in the house of the Lord this morning? Jesus did not come to show us what God could do through one man who walked in obedience. He came to show us what one man could do who was rightly related to God. Our obedience is not measured by our ability to honor and obey the laws and principles. Our obedience is measured by our response to God's voice. Now, I understand that's not easy, but that doesn't mean it's not possible. You must decide today for you and yourself that you are going to serve the eviction notice of fear in your life. I can't do it for you. It has to come from you. Otherwise, it will invade and infect every part of your life. And it will paralyze you to the point that you achieve nothing. That all the promises of God, you know about them, you can quote chapter and verse, but you never experience them. And I don't want biblical knowledge. I want biblical knowledge and biblical experience. I don't want to hear about people getting saved. I want to see people getting saved. I don't want to hear about signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to see them. Where are you? This is what God has for us. The answer is to dig deeper into His promises. The promises found in His Word. That is your portion as a child of God. You know, you can never get a greater anointing in your life without a greater revelation with the Anointed One. God will entrust you with revelation to the degree that you trust Him with mystery. Faith does not deny that problems exist in our lives. Faith denies them a place of influence and impact. And that's a word for someone here today. You do not believe because you understand, but you understand because you believe. Never, ever, 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 say it with me, ever fear criticism. Do fear conformity. That will kill your soul. That will diminish your authority in God. You can never have God's approval and everyone else's approval at the same time. You can't even have God's anointing and everyone's approval at the same time. Do not fear man. What can they do to you? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Psalm 4, verse 3. "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. The Lord hears when I call to Him." And I believe this morning that God is going to retrieve and restore and redeem everything that the enemy has stolen through the spirit of fear, anxiety, worry, depression, uncertainty. This is not your portion as a child of God. You are a winner. You are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. In Him you have the victory. Stand on His promises. And if you're going to be overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Be overwhelmed by the lavish love of God. Be overcome by the grace of God. Be overcome by the goodness of God in your life. Don't be overcome by the challenges. They're nothing more than an opportunity for God to demonstrate his power. And then you can declare, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the power of my testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, what you confront, you conquer. What you don't, you end up endorsing. You will never find freedom from the things that you keep making excuses from in your life. Decide today, I'm going to serve the eviction notice on fear in my life. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That cannot just be a soundbite and a portion of a verse of Scripture. That has to be how we live our lives. Free of all fear on this earth except for fear of the Lord in our lives. And so I wonder, if you're here in the house of the Lord today and you're fearful about your life and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe we could all take a moment here to bow our heads and close our eyes. If you are here, you're watching online, you're here in the building, and you are carrying fear, fear about your boss, your job, your marriage, your finances, your home. Maybe you're even fearful about where you would go if you were to die tonight because you don't know. I've got an answer for you. I've got the answer for you. Jesus declares in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's a menu of one option. And it's something that we accept or we reject. And so if you're here in the house of the Lord this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to respond to what I've shared today, that you can relinquish and let go of all fear about where you spend eternity, about what tomorrow looks like, about what next week, next month looks like, because you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That all of your fears can be washed away in a beautiful moment of God's goodness and grace and his love towards you. It will not mean that there will not be challenges that will emerge in your life, but you'll be able to stand on the promises of God. You'll be able to stand on the truth of God's word, and you will be able to know that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus, and he loves you, and he approves of you, and he accepts you. And you don't even know it yet, but you were made in his image and likeness, fearfully and wonderfully made, as the word of God declares. And so if that's you in this place, I would love you to be bold and brave and confident in what you've heard and to raise your hand, and I would acknowledge it, and I will pray with you, and I will lead you in a prayer. And we've got members of our welcome team. We've got some of our ministers here, some of our staff. And we've got people outside that would love to host you, talk with you, share with you, pray with you, and encourage you in that walk and journey. And so if you don't know Jesus, but you want to, I want to encourage you to lift your hand in the house of the Lord. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I'll leave it for just a moment more. You don't have to fear anything here. You're with brothers. Thank you, sister. God bless you. Just want to lead you in a prayer. Maybe it's something that we can all pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I confess that I need you. I confess that you are Lord and you are my Savior. And as best as I know how, I give you my life, and I believe that you went to the cross, that you died, that you were buried in a grave, and on the third day, you rose again in victory. And because of this, I have eternal life with you. Thank you for making a bridge between me and the Father.